Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 18 this morning. I mentioned to you I would preach on the subject of friendship tonight from the Bible. I'm going to use marriage as a primary example throughout it, but what I'm about to teach is going to apply to everybody here when it comes to friends. I'll talk a lot about the friendship between a husband and wife, but don't let that mislead you. What I'm about to teach has to do with the friendships of your life in general, because the scriptures and the principles that I teach transfer into every friendship of life. 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse number 1. Please stand with us if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Remember, if you have a cell phone on, turn it off so it does not interrupt our service or your concentration. 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul." I'm going to pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. I hope as I pray, you don't just listen, but while I pray out loud, you silently and in your heart can agree with the prayer, and you can talk to God about it as well. So we're all going to pray together. Now, we're not all going to pray out loud together. That would become confusing. I'll lead us in a prayer, but we can agree in our hearts and spirits with that prayer. At one point, I'll ask God to speak to my heart. I hope you'll ask him to speak to yours as well. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Speak to my heart. Though I'm the preacher, I need the sermon. I pray, Father, that you'll take the scripture tonight and help each and every one of us to have better friendships, and in a maybe a unique way, may the husbands and wives develop their friendships as you would have them to do so. Please bless us, Holy Spirit, with thy presence. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. I'm going to call the sermon Friendship in Marriage, but please, no matter what friendship you have in life, the scripture that I'm about to share with you applies to that friendship. The passage of scripture that we just read was about David and Jonathan. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Here's a friend. Jonathan was a friend to David, and David a friend to Jonathan. David's friendship with Jonathan was one of the most beautiful friendships in the entire Bible. It says their souls were knit together. Now, I want you to know something. To me, there's no greater knitting of human souls beyond blood relatives than that between a husband and wife. You know, when we get married, we become, the Bible calls it, one flesh. Two people come together to make one. They're virtually knitted together. In this story, Jonathan and David were very, very dear friends. It says he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan loved David as much as Jonathan loved himself. If every man here would love his wife as much as he loves himself, you'd fix most of your marital issues. Amen. If every woman here would love her husband as much as she loves herself, you would fix so much tension in your family. We're all pretty good at taking care of old number one. Sometimes we just need to put ourselves aside and do what's best for our spouse or our friend. I constantly meet married people who are, they're married, and you would say they are lovers, but they're not friends. They're not friends. Young people, let me advise you, you teenagers, if I were you, I'd become best friends with Jesus. Amen. I'd become best friends with your mom and your dad. Fall madly in love with mom and dad and Jesus. I would drag my feet before I go falling in love with some boy or some girl. You need to give yourself plenty of time to mature. And once you're madly in love with mom and madly in love with dad and madly in love with Jesus, then and only then should you give any consideration to the possibility of someone from the opposite sex. And so you know, the best place to start anyway is friendship. Friendship. On Mrs. Owens, we were married almost 34 years ago. It seems longer than that, but we were married almost 34 years ago, and on our wedding invitation it said, "Today I will marry my friend." See, what you're supposed to do is you become friends, and then you add to the friendship the marital relationship. And you know, some of you that are married, you know your relationship used to be a whole lot better when the two of you were working on your friendship. It's almost like if you're not careful, you get married and you were friends, and then before long, you're no longer sharing any type of interest, and you're not showing friendship courtesies to one another, and you're married, and he's saying, "I'm the husband," and she's saying, "I'm the wife," and the husband says, "I'll do my duties," and she says, "Well, I'll do my duties," and we'll exist. But the truth is, it wasn't that way when you were friends. Remember when you couldn't wait to be together and couldn't wait to share things together, and you were interested in what she was interested in, and she was interested in what you were interested in, and you were friends. Well, so you all know, you were not supposed to phase out friendship when you got married. There's a song in the songbook called "The Fight Is On." That's a theme song for most Christian marriages. "The fight is on, oh Christian soldiers." It's not supposed to be that way. Now, let me explain something. You can't make someone be your friend. That's not possible. But you can be a friend to someone. And when we talk about husbands and wives, there are probably husbands and wives sitting in this room right now. You've got a license, you're married, you're coexisting, but you're not really friends. Now, husband says, "Well, I want her to be my friend." I'm sorry, sir, it doesn't work that way. We can't make her be your friend. And the wife says, "I want him to be my friend, let's make him be my friend." We can't make him be your friend, ma'am. But I can make me be my wife's friend. And my wife can make her be my friend. And I don't mean it ought to be a struggle. I'm not saying that I have to force myself to be your friend. I am saying I can't force her to be mine, and she can't force me to be hers. And for everybody here, if you ever come see me in marital counseling, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If, wife, you're coming to see me because you want to tell me everything that's wrong with your husband and you want me to fix him, I'll hear you out a little bit to try to pacify you. But anybody here that's ever been counseling with me, I'll say to you, okay, now that that's over with, me or you can't fix him, let's talk about what's wrong with you. And let's get your side of this thing fixed, because that's the only thing you have control over. And to everybody here, if every one of us would become the Christian we're supposed to be, we already then would have our hands full. We'd have so much to be taken care of. We wouldn't be worrying about what everybody else is doing anyway. But all you can do is be a friend. You can't make someone become your friend. Now, on your way home tonight, especially married couples, on your way home tonight, when I'm all done teaching, it will not be wise for you look over at your spouse and say, "Did you listen to what the preacher said?" Not a wise move. During this sermon, none of these. Don't be yanking, pulling. Just let them get it themselves. And all the men, you become the man you're supposed to be. All the ladies, you become the lady you're supposed to be. It'll go much smoother that way. But again, let me say to everybody, every child, every teenager, though I'm going to use marriage as the example tonight, I want every one of you to understand every verse that I use, every principle that I'm about to teach in the next 3 hours, every principle I'm about to teach in the next 30 minutes or so, apply to you. You brothers and sisters, you ought not just be brothers and sisters, but friends. And it ought to be that people within the church have proper friendships. And when you're going to be a friend, it ought to be done according to the Scripture. And so, I want to call this friendship in marriage, but it applies to every last one of us. Let me say, number one, do you know that when you pick someone to be a scriptural friend of them, it's supposed to be a lifelong commitment? Proverbs 27:10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." That means be careful when you pick friends. To everybody in here, when you pick a friend, let's make sure that it's someone you ought to commit your friendship to. You shouldn't commit the thing called friendship to every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. I believe you ought to be friends to those that are Christian people so that you can keep this not forsaking of a friend. You need to be able to keep that promise. Don't forsake. Based on a husband and wife, let me say something. You're not to forsake each other. When you married her or when she married you, you want to stick together. Don't forsake that person that's called the friend, your husband, or the friend, your wife. And I don't think friends ought to be going around threatening to forsake each other. I'll say some strong things to you tonight. If in your home you threaten each other, I'm leaving you, you got to knock that off. You shouldn't be threatening that. You shouldn't threaten that. You're weakening something that is supposed to be very, very strong. I'd recommend, now, there are people that have gone through some very devastating times with marriages. I know people that their spouse left or mistreated them and they never wanted that and they wish it would have never happened, but it happened and they don't have any control of it. And I say to everybody in here, those that have gone through the tragedy of having a spouse leave or divorce you, I want you to know something. You're not a second-class citizen to me. I love you and I'm sorry for you, but let me help those that haven't had that devastating problem come on them. Let me help them. I'd like to help them a little bit. But you probably shouldn't be walking around always thinking, well, I can get out of this thing. Well, I can get out of this thing. Well, I can get out of this thing. Yes, you can. You can. You can get out of this thing. But that doesn't mean you ought to.
Right, right.
And the more you contemplate it and the more you throw it out there, the closer you're probably getting to trying to get out of this thing. We need people that got in it to stay instead of people that got in it to test it, to see if they like it, to see if they'll stay. Don't forsake them. Don't forsake your mate emotionally. Don't forsake them intimately. I have a mixed crowd with young people in here. I'm not going to go into it any further, but you're not to forsake them intimately. Don't forsake them physically. But remember this, when we commit friendship to someone, God said, thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. In other words, if I say to you, I am your friend, and I have chosen you as a friend scripturally, then I'm to remain your friend. That means I'm going to stick with you. That doesn't mean I agree with everything you do, but I'm going to love you and be your friend. There might even be times when I need to pull away from you a little bit as a friend, because if you're really misbehaving, there's some things I've been told to stay away from. That doesn't mean I don't love you and I've ceased to be your friend. So number one, friends are forever. Number two, a friend loves under all circumstances.
Right.
A friend loves under all circumstances. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. That verse goes on to say, and a brother is born for adversity. And me and my brother proved that more than one time in life. Should have said, and sisters are really born for adversity. Me and my brother tangled, but when it came to sisters, I mean, it was all out war sometimes. But the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. That's where we get those terms like when you take your wedding vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's where those things come from. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. So when if you're ever in your Bible and you're a married person and you're studying and you see friendship, let me explain. You are supposed to be knit together, one flesh. You're to be friends. Husbands and wives are to be friends, and for better, for worse. Now, a lot of people, when they get married, they're thinking it's all going to be for better. It doesn't take long to figure out there are some for worses that pop up from time to time. And then for richer, for poorer. And at first you get married and you ask the young married couple that first get married, how are you going to make it financially? And they're just all goo-goo-eyed and they say, well, we're going to live on love. Well, you can't eat love, buddy. You got to have money. I mean, for richer, for poorer comes along. And I'll promise you something, your friendship will be tested when the worst times come along and when the poorer time comes along and in sickness and in health. And let me say to everybody in here, I really have very little respect for married people that when their spouse gets sick, they want to forsake them, run off and leave them because they don't want to deal with the spouse that's not well. I call a man like that a coward.
Amen.
You can call him whatever you want. I have other words. I just don't understand that. When your mate is not well, that's when they need you the most, and that's when you need to be there for them. But the Bible teaches a friend loves under all circumstances. That doesn't mean you have to love their sin, but you're to love them. Did you know you can love someone and not love their wrong and even tell them about their wrong? I let me tell you something. I do not like tension. I really don't like tension. I don't like tension with people. Why in the world God made me a preacher where I got to stand up and say things that I just know rub people the wrong way? I hate it. There are times I leave the pulpit and I go, oh, brother, I just know that that hurts somebody's feelings. And I didn't want to. But there's one thing God convinced me of, that if I will love the people that I must teach the truth to, there's a possibility we can get through this thing. And let me tell you something. I will tell you the truth. And there'll be times you'll probably be a little offended with me. But I'll promise you this. I love you. I want to help you. I don't like... God wrote a pretty strict book. And it's hard sometimes for me to say to people what I'm supposed to say. And the only way I figured a way to get through this thing is to make sure that I keep telling people I love you. And I gotta kick you in the head here in a minute, but I love you. I love you. But remember this, in friendship, if you make a friendship commitment, it's to be lasting. And friendships love in all circumstances. And again, married people apply that to your life. Number three, in marriage, the friendship is really to be closer than any other blood relationship. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're to be closer to your husband than you are to your mom. You're to be closer to your wife than you are to your mom. You're to be closer to your husband than you are to your dad. Now, that does not mean you shut mom and dad out. You don't stop loving them, but it is to be a very deep tie. You're to be closer to your wife than you are to your dad, and closer to a husband than to a sister or a brother, closer to your wife than a sister or brother. Now, every parent here, you had your spouse before you had your children. Your spouse is to take a priority position in life. They're just supposed to do that. I can tell you, I love my brothers, I love my family, but the truth is, I have some friends that I'm around all the time. We have all sorts of things in common, even right here at the church. I have brothers here that I'm even a little closer to now than my own brothers, just because the way life has led. And that's and the Bible said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say that's Jesus. Well, I'm sure it applies, but I don't know that this is talking about just Jesus. It's talking about a depth of a relationship called friendship, to where they're just as tight with us as family, and in some instances, tighter. Just be careful. Your mate should not feel like they're three or four rungs down on the ladder. They ought to be at the top of your ladder. That's the way it's supposed to be. You say, well, my mate's done some stupid things. All people do stupid things. We're not saying that you have to agree with their stupidity. We're saying you're to love them, and they ought to be at the top of your love list. Let me go on. Number four, a friend learns how to appropriately respond to another friend's mood. This is going to be really good for some of you. A friend learns how to appropriately respond to a friend's mood. Listen to the verse. Proverbs 27:14 says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Let me tell you what that verse said. You have a friend, and they're asleep, and it's early in the morning, and you decide that you will wake them up by going up to their ear while they're in their bed and say, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. You say, preacher, if I did that, I could end up with a bloody nose. Listen to the verse. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted to him a curse. And in some of your cases, you will be cursed. It's talking about you need to learn to read the circumstances. You need to learn to read the mood of the moment and learn properly to respond to your friend. I think very much so husbands and wives need to learn that. And folks, may I say to everybody here can have moody times. There are times when you do better than others. There are times when you're up a little, and there are times when you're down a little. Now, some people, you're a roller coaster, and that needs to stop. You need to get yourself under control and stop being so unpredictable. It's sad if a husband has to say, well, I wonder what kind of mood she's in right now. And there's just no telling. Some of you don't realize your children are, they're just petrified, wondering when mom's going to go off fly off the end of her handle or whatever. Folks, that kind of stuff needs to be brought under control. Everybody has some moods. Everybody has some of that. But folks, we're to learn to help one another. Look, any man here that's been married any amount of time can look at his wife and say, it'd probably be better that I didn't bring up the issue right now. You can begin to read it. And you wives, you can look at your husband, and if he's had a rough day at work, and he comes home and he had a flat tire on the way home, and everything fell apart, you don't let him walk in the door and then dump every negative you can find on him at that moment. Friends care about the circumstances that create their friend's mood, and they're cautious in how they deal with that mood. Let's protect one another's spirit. Can I tell you something that I try to do? You know, if there were somebody in our church, I want you to know, I want to be your friend. Do you know that if I noticed you tended to have an edge on you, if I just watched you around the church and you were a little, I call it snippy with people, if I had something that I felt like I needed to talk with you about, and maybe is a little disciplinary or is a little negative, I might not choose that moment to talk to you, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I wouldn't want you to lose your temper with me, because that would embarrass you. And I could get over it. Believe me, I've had plenty of people lose their temper with me. But I could get over it. But you know, when you lose it, when you lose your testimony around certain people, it's humiliating, it's damaging, and you wonder if you'll ever get it back. Do you know what I do? I watch the attitudes of people, and I approach them when I feel like their attitude is healthy, so that the exchange comes out healthy. And you all say, boy, that's smart. Well, won't you do that with your wife?
You say, well, then I could never approach her.
It should not be that you have a rough attitude all the time. But everybody has a fluctuation in attitude or spirit. Let's all learn to read a bit of one another's spirit. Let's learn how to approach each other so friendships stay intact. So we need to work on getting our spirit under control. But this is true in friendships here in the church. It's true. There's a time to joke around, and there's time when we probably ought not joke around. There's a time when you can, you know, us men, we use a lot of sarcasm around here. Well, I mean, we're always taking shots at each other. But there will come a day when somebody's hurting or they're having a really rough time, you might want to read it before you take that shot, because they're liable to turn around and take a shot at you. And it won't be good. So learn one another's moods. Again, listen to the verse. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So what are we talking about? Principles of friendship. I'm applying them a little more to marriage. If you pick a friend, it's to be a friend forever. And just so you know, that's picking a friend scripturally. Picking a friend scripturally has some prerequisites. There's some of you pick friends out in the world, and they don't love God, and they're not saved. Well, you know what? Those are not scriptural friendships. This scriptural commitment of a forever friend was made by Scripture. So if you're in the church and you recently got saved, you say, yeah, I got some drinking buddies, and I'm going to be best friends with them forever. Really, you ought to love them and care about them, but as far as being a tight friend, you shouldn't have tight friends that are misbehaving like that. Now, but a friend loves in all circumstances, Proverbs 17:17. We are to be closest to our friends even more so than some blood relatives. Then we've got to watch one another's moods. Another thing, a real friend is a friend even when their mate has sinned. Let me read to you Matthew 11:19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Let me explain to everybody here. We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our toils and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I've got good news for you folks. Jesus is our friend, and when we sin, he does not forsake us. Don't be shocked when your mate sins. They're going to sin. We say we believe Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We say we believe that everyone's a sinner, but then we're shocked if someone does. Now, listen, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. They don't exist. You say, why? You can't take a man who's a sinner and let him marry a woman who's a really bad sinner. You can't take those two and put them together without having a relationship made up of two sinners. So there's going to be fault. There's going to be sin. Now, the Bible teaches that when our friend sins, we're to try to continue to love them and continue to be a friend to them. Now, if you're doing something bad and nasty, stop it. I'm not justifying your sin. I am saying, though, when we sin, Jesus does not forsake you and I. We're part of his family. So he doesn't forsake us. Now, he wants us to stop it, and he's against it, but he doesn't hate us for it. Be careful that you love the people in your family and your friends that sin. Let me go on. Number six, friends, the Bible says, are to show themselves friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That means, how do you show yourself friendly? Well, that means be gentle. That means be kind. That means be tender. We're to show ourselves friendly and be gentle and tender verbally. We're to be gentle and tender emotionally. We're to be gentle and tender physically. We're to be gentle and tender spiritually. I think in our homes today, there's way too much screaming and yelling and slamming doors. In Christian homes, ought not be happening. It ought not be happening. It's wrong. Sin. Meanness to one another emotionally. It's wrong. I mean, husbands and wives can give each other the cold shoulder. They can say things that just penetrate the heart on purpose. Bring up things just in spite and almost vengeful. That's wrong. That's sin. There are women in this building, you would never go out and get drunk because you think that's sinful. But you have hatred in your heart. And the way you handle yourself towards your husband is hateful. And let me tell you something. It is wrong for one human being to hate another. Did you know that someone could go get drunk and it not have anything to do with hating a human being? At the same time, you don't have that sin of drunkenness in your life, but you're hateful. And just so you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out how bad hatefulness between human beings actually is. For God so loved the world. Friends show themselves friendly. For instance, friends say, please. What's happened to common courtesy and propriety? What's wrong if your wife will get you some sweet tea, there's nothing wrong with saying, honey, would you please get me a tea? Please. And then when you get it, say, thank you. Shouldn't we all learn to say please and thank you? Did you know at home we ought to learn to say, excuse me? Get these words. I'm sorry. Now we just lost half our congregation. You're going up the road. Yeah, you're going to go join the Catholic Church, aren't you? Saying, I'm sorry. Please pardon me. Forgive me. Try this. I was wrong. You say, sure, I'd say it if I ever was. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And let me explain. Men, if your wife is mean to you, that does not justify you being mean to her. We have a bunch of children around the church here. I'll promise you, I could call any mom and dad up here. And if I called Brother Matt Smith up here and I said, Matt, if one of your daughters is mean to the other, and you know those girls, they're as sweet as pumpkin pie. But I say, Brother Matt, if one daughter is mean to the other, do you tell the second, go ahead and beat your sister up? Because if she wants it, tell her to bring it on and get some of it. You say, that's ridiculous. Then why is it married people act that way? Why is it grown adults, one can be rude to the other, so that justifies a rudeness in return? You know what the Bible teaches we're supposed to do? We're to render kindness for rudeness. You know, it takes one to end most arguments. Somebody that gets it under control and says, you know, I don't want this. I don't want us to misbehave toward each other. But friends are to show themselves friendly. And folks, right here in the church, it's so, so important. We need to show ourselves friendly. Let's let people see this is a friendly church. And I don't think visitors come here and feel like they're rejected. I think visitors come here and feel like we're interested. But it ought to stay that way if we're going to be a church that's friendly. I had a lady once say, I feel a little left out. And I just feel a little left out. And I'll say something probably hurt somebody's feelings. Look, if you come in, you sit down, and you don't go shake hands with anybody and say hi to anybody and you don't talk to anybody, and then you feel left out, is it possible it's you? Look, friends are to show themselves friendly. And I might throw this in here. Husbands and wives, for some of you, you need to find a few common denominators and share some things. You men need to figure out a little something that your wife enjoys, and you learn to enjoy a little bit of it with her. You say, well, I just don't like gardening. Yes, but do you like her? You share in her interest, not necessarily because you like that interest, but because you like her. You ladies, you need to take interest in something that your husband might enjoy. If he likes to go shoot guns, you say, I don't like to shoot guns. Okay, but don't you love him? You see, there's nobody saying yes. Is it? Not that much. But folks, you need to get something in common. You need to do something that you enjoy doing together. Mrs. Owens and I enjoy riding bikes. And we have bicycles, and we'll ride bikes together. There are things that we share that we enjoy doing. For many, many years, we just love getting out in the yard and working in our yard together. But we share that. It was a common interest. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If a husband and wife are going to have a good, solid relationship, they need to be showing themselves interested in one another. Ladies, I know when he gets home from work and he wants to rattle on about all the things that he worked on at work, most of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. But you know what you need to do? You need to stand there and listen and shake your head up and down and say, why, sure, You say, well, preacher, why should I do that for him? Because when you're telling him what you did all day, he's standing there doing the same thing back. Why, sure, yeah. But listen, show interest in one another. I'll give you a little warning. If you don't show interest in your mate, somebody will. You'll regret that. You be the ear for your mate. And let them talk to you. Let me give you a point or two and I'm done. Finally, friends should not gossip with friends. Even protect your marriage in this. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. If I were you, I would be very careful gossiping with your spouse. Don't gossip to each other about others. Whatever you do, don't gossip to others about your spouse. You say, why? Listen to what it says. A whisperer separateth chief friends. Chief friends, that sounds to me like a husband and a wife. A whisperer separateth. And here's what the devil comes along and says, you know what? You and your spouse can share this gossip with each other because that'll bring you closer together. That is exact opposite of what the Scripture says. The Scripture says when you gossip with your chief friend, you're going to bring a separation in your marriage instead of coming together. Hey, you teenagers can tend to talk. They can tend to say things they shouldn't say, be texting and Facebooking and all that sort of stuff and saying things they think, well, this will build our friendships. No, you're ruining your friendships. According to this, when you talk about things that are gossip, that are rumors, that really don't need to be said, things that are not your business, you're not bringing a friendship together. You're virtually tearing one apart. I want to recommend to everybody here that you not go around talking bad to others about your spouse. Now, obviously, there are people that will get counsel from the preacher or maybe Mrs. Owens and will help you. But even then, you're going to find out. We'll require you to remain respectful and treat one another with dignity. But there's some of you women, you got good friends, you badmouth your husband to your friends all the time. I'm just going to tell you, I think that's stupid. And I think you ought to stop it. I guarantee you, you will not find anybody on the face of this earth that's ever heard me attack my wife or tear my wife down in their presence. I don't have one. There's not one male friend on the face of this earth I've ever gone to and said, let me tell you what's wrong with my wife. Never. There's not a family member that's ever heard me do that. Not one. You won't find some woman that I've gone to and bled to tell them everything that's wrong with my wife. Never. Say, well, how you handle it? Well, I talk to Jesus. And if it's something that we need to talk to, I'll talk to her. By the way, hon, I want to see you after the service tonight. Watch what you do and watch what you say. Gossip is like a poison. Don't give it to the ones that you love. I'm done, and I want to touch on this before I leave it. Physical abuse and uncontrolled anger should never be present in a marriage. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. God is saying to us, there is never a time when a man ought to lay a hand on his wife. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. But I have to say this, and ladies, it's wrong for you to try to hurt your husband physically as well. It used to be, it tended more that the man could be abusive toward the woman. Today, the rage of women... And I understand, man hits a woman and a woman hits back, but let me say to everybody here, men ought not be hitting their wives, women ought not be hitting their husbands, there ought not be threat of physical abuse. It's wrong. It's just wrong. It's not supposed to happen. And to every young lady here, you young ladies are not married. You look right at your preacher for a second. If the boy that you think you like can't control his temper, you better be careful ever letting yourself fall in love with him. He'll beat you someday. Right. Hey, you young men, look here at the preacher for a second. If there's some girl that you think you like and you think you'd like to fall in love with her, you better be careful. You better make sure she's kind and pleasant, because if she's a vicious, mean kind of a girl, if she's beating other people up at school, I'm going to tell you something. You'll be married to a hellcat at home, and you will wish you would have never married her, because she will be so out of control with her rage and her anger and her meanness, it'll be pathetic. You will live in misery. So you say, what do I do? Watch how they talk about their parents. Watch how they treat other people. Look, let me tell you something. You boys, if she badmouths her parents all the time, can I tell you something? When she becomes your spouse, the tightest relationship in your life is supposed to be with you. If she knows no boundary about bad-mouthing her mom and dad all the time in your presence, she'll know no boundary about bad-mouthing you, her now husband, in somebody else's presence. In friendship, God said, control your anger. Parents, let me help you for a second. When you discipline your children, and I think you should, I think we're supposed to discipline our children. But when you do, it's not supposed to be in anger. It is not supposed to be in rage. If that means, and if you get in the flesh, and at the moment you're angry, I tell you what you need to do. You need to say to little Joey, Joey, you go sit on the couch. And then Dad needs to go sit on the other side of the room and count to 10. Or in some of your cases, count to 1,000,000. Get it under control. So if correction is necessary, it is done on purpose, in the spirit, in tenderness and kindness. And you're not mad at the sinner, you're mad at the sin that the sinner committed. Now, you say, why? Well, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children or your sons to wrath. I'm to be a friend to my child, which means I'm to control my anger and my temper. I regret, and I'm pretty, you know, visual. I tell you, there were times that I lost my temper when I was raising my kids. I have remorse over that. I regret having ever lost my temper when I was dealing with my children. I was wrong, and it was sinful. There were times when I had to say to my son, son, Dad just corrected you in anger, and I was wrong. Now, you needed corrected, but the way Daddy did it was wrong. I say to everybody in here, if you're going to be the right kind of friend, you've got to get your anger under control. Notice this. Make no friendship with an angry man. God takes it so seriously, said, if they're a person of rage, don't strike up a friendship. You say, but I'm already married to her. I'm already married to them. I already live in the household. Then you learn how to deal with it. You learn how to respond to their moods, as we taught earlier. But when you've got a choice, God said, hey, there are two people to pick from to be a friend, and one's got a temper problem, pick the other one. Don't make a friendship with the ones that can't control themselves. Now, I'll remind you what I said. According to Proverbs 27:10, when you make a friendship commitment, it's to be lasting. According to Proverbs 17:17, a friend is to love in all circumstances. According to Proverbs 18:24, our friendships, especially with our spouses, can even be stronger than blood ties. According to Proverbs 27:14, we have to learn to respond properly to a friend's circumstances or moods. According to Matthew 11:19, a friend is to be a friend even when our friend has sinned or done wrong. Doesn't mean we agree with the wrong, but we continue to love and be their friend. Number six, a friend, according to Proverbs 18:24, a friend is to show themselves friendly. They're to go out of their way to take interest and show interest. Number next, Proverbs 16:28 tells us that a friend should not gossip with a friend, because that will separate, not bring them together. And then finally, Proverbs 22:24 tells us, when anger is present, there's a danger. We're not to be building friendships with angry people, and we must get our anger under control, because it will destroy friendships. Friendship's a very powerful thing. Now I'm going to read a couple funny things I have here. Marriage requires a man to prepare for four types of rings: the engagement ring, the wedding ring, the suffering, and then the enduring. Marriage is an institution in which a man loses his bachelor's degree and the woman gets her master's. Marriage is a thing that puts a ring on a woman's finger and two under the man's eyes. Listen, let's make sure we as Christians, when we're out in the world, and even among one another, let's practice friendship properly. And though I've dealt a little more with the thought of marriage and friendship, I say to everybody here, you be careful with your friendships in life. The Bible gives scriptural guidelines in regard to friendship. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question I'll ask tonight before we start this invitation is, are you born again? Has there been a time in your life when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let me put it this way. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm concerned about it. I just don't know if I'm saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven." Okay, who here would say, "I am. I'm saved. I'll not lie to myself. I'll not lie in church. I know that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, and I'm willing to raise my hand in testimony of it." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Yeah. Amen. You may put your hand down. In regard to friendship, to the marriages here, take the way that lesson's been taught tonight and use it. Help yourself. Help your marriage. Make sure you're just not coexisting, but be friends in your marriage. There are all sorts of men in here. Can I plead with you? Many of what your wife needs is she needs you to become a friend to her. There's some men in here, you don't like who your wife's friends are. Can I tell you something? Why don't you become a better friend to her than some of those people to whom she's reaching out to? Let's be friends in our marriage. Some of you fuss too much. Some of you have you don't take interest in one another. Let's make our marriages strong by becoming the best friends we can in marriage. To the young people, oh my, you be careful with your friendships. Nothing brings a good Christian young person down faster than the people with whom they're exercising friendship. I promise you. Who here tonight would say, "God has spoken to my heart in the sermon somewhere this evening. He's spoken to me and there's something I needed and He's spoken to my heart." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come, you're welcome to come. You might need to come and say, "Lord, I need to work on something. Lord, there's something that I need to put into my life." But if you need the altar, you're welcome to come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need the altar, you come. Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a teenager? Are you a child? Some of you, you ought to be a little more friendly with your brother and with your sister. That anger in your home between brothers and sisters ought to be brought to an end. If you're angry with anybody in the church, and to be honest, I thank God, praise God. I don't know of any of that. I know of no tension at all in our church. But if there is some, you ought to get that fixed. That ought not be present because we're to be friends. We're to be friends. There's some of you just talk too much. You say things about people and things that you shouldn't be talking about, and you somehow are convinced that's going to bring you and the person with whom you're gossiping closer, but in the end, the Scripture's going to win. God said you're going to separate cheap friends. You say, "Well, how in the world do you deal with it if somebody you're close to wants to gossip?" Say, "Listen, I love you too much. Let's not talk that way. Let's not talk about things that are not our business or that we can't fix or that we have no control over." Friends. Oh, friendships are important. There are some of you husbands and wives, you used to be close friends. But you're not anymore. She takes care of her things, you take care of your things. You don't talk, you don't spend time together. So, you know, some of you used to date. You used to go out and spend some time together. But that was big because it was a part of the friendship relationship. Now you're married and you've got a contract and dating's not important anymore. Well, you won't find any women that don't think dating's important anymore. Men, you need to take her out and spend some time with her and build that friendship. Keep that friendship strong. You're not to tolerate one another. You're not to endure one another. You're to enjoy one another. Thank you, Sarah.